We're teaching on a series of dealing with the keys to the move of God. And one of the things we got over into and we're talking about, I wasn't going to go into this before, but I felt to do it, because dealing with the areas of covenant, if we as Christians are going to really succeed as Christians, fulfill the will of God, we have to understand covenants and how covenants work. We don't have covenants in our society today. They don't, you know, people always try to take, well, a contract, you know, it's a type of covenant, but it's not like God's covenant. We're going to look in God's covenants. We'll look from the old covenant and dealing with our new covenant is how a covenant operates. And especially understanding this, I used examples of the fact that God covenanting it with individuals, because we find it in the Bible where God covenanted specifically with people for certain things. And you'll find this. One of the things is we need to know as Christians, this is why, as we develop in a relationship with God, God will personally deal with you on things. Personally, about things where He will covenant with you. Also, we're going to find that people covenanted with God. That people made covenant, and God went with their covenant that they made toward Him. One of the things I just want to say, that if you're going to tell, you know, go to God and say, you know, some people do this sometimes. They say, God, if you, you know, staying with you about this, and if you do this, I'm going to do this. One thing about that, you be very careful what you say. Lots of times what people do is this. They get into bad dilemmas in life, and then they make commitments to God which they never keep. Mm-hmm. That is a very dangerous thing to do. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. Because if you come to the point your word's no good, your faith will be no good. Amen. And faith is what the Bible tells us. That's the only thing that pleases God about His faith. So you want to be able to keep your word. And always remember that in this. You know, God doesn't expect, because, you know, one of the things that I've learned, God's gracious, kind, and good. You don't have to try to, you know, come up with some great idea to try to get Him to do something. He has a lot of great ideas of what He wants to do anyhow. So lots of times that's a way to find out. But we're going to look today on these things, dealing with the areas of covenant. One of the things that we used a foundational scripture, which is from the Galatians, the third chapter, in verses 13 and 14, which speak to us. This is the New Testament, but it speaks about a covenant that was made in the, which considered the Old Testament, but it wasn't under the law. It was made with Abraham. In Galatians, the third chapter and verse 13 says, now Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Why? That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And I've taught numbers of times during the area of the curse of the law. If you read Deuteronomy 28 chapter, it tells you what the blessings and what the curses are. So it tells us that we are redeemed from it. A Christian is redeemed from the curse of the law. You got to get on. You won't understand covenants if you don't understand these things. Most of the church world today, and this is not to be just critical people, they know nothing about or ever teach about these things. We need to understand to be redeemed from the curse of the law is the fact the curse, sickness, and all sickness and disease was under the curse of the law. All poverty was under the curse. That was all under the curse. Anything. Children, you know, straying off and not walking after God and things like that. That's all under the curse. And it said, we're redeemed from it. And most of the church preaches, you know, the fact that God's in control. Well, if He is, He's sure made a mess of enough stuff. If He's running the show, it sure is a mess. I mean, look around the world. I mean, out here. I mean, look at our political system. If God's in control of that, good luck. You know, God's not in control of this thing. We need to understand that. Why would we ever pray, seek God? If He's running the show, well, let's just go do what we want, you know. No. It's going to work out. Well, I found that out. That ain't the way it works. I lived 30 years on that kind of stuff, and boy, that worked out great for me, you know. So I found out walking with God, well, you know, God has a plan, and when you understand it, which I realize, and I talked about last week, and we'll go into where the Lord dealt with me, the fact when I first got born again, and I had the things of I wanted to know why I was still alive. I really did, because I did so many crazy things and drug overdoses and all kind of stuff and things, and I was alive. And I asked the Lord, after I got saved, I said, how come I'm still alive? Because I knew people that weren't on the face of the earth that did a lot less than I did, of people that I knew and friends and stuff, and they were gone. And I said, what happened? Why me? And he said, I spared you because your father was righteous before me. And I didn't understand it at the time, but as things go on, things were built as we went, where the Lord spoke to me, where I talked about it last week, and I want to say this again because it was sort of a building block over time. When a Christian family, had a son who died, he's 19 years old, wasn't a Christian, and he died and he was lost. And I'm thinking, you know, this is a terrible thing as a family. And so I was just a brand new Christian and I didn't know what was going on. You know, I'm learning. And I asked the Lord about this. And it was the first time I ever heard it was actually the voice of the Lord. And it sounded like somebody was standing in the room with me. And in fact, I heard this behind me, go read the 128th Psalm. And I just thought when I heard it, somebody's around. I turned around and I looked because I thought somebody behind me was standing behind me said something. There was nobody there. And I just thought well, is there 128 Psalms? I didn't know. And my Bible was on the nightstand by the bed and I walked over and I picked it up and I read it. But it says the man who fears the Lord and he walks in his way, his wife will be as a fruitful vine by his house and his children as olive plants around his table. And it says, thus shall be the man who fears the Lord. And so, then after I read this, this same voice said to me, if you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of your family. I realized at the time, so my job number one, and understand this, I'm glad I learned this as a young Christian. My number one place in life is for a Christian is our service to God. What does He want me to do? It's not everybody else. Everybody, we have a system that goes along. I'll never forget this. You know, like I was messed up. The Lord said to me concerning, I got saved and my wife wasn't. And I remember the Lord said to me, told me to let her alone. He said, you're saved. Don't bug her about this. He said, she doesn't trust you. And I thought about that and I thought, yeah, that's probably about right. She probably don't trust me because I couldn't trust me. And so he said, you know, let her alone. And so one of the things that I found out, you know, early, as I went along in my Christian walk, I'll never forget when Wanda got saved and we ended up, we're going to a church. And I'll never forget the pastor of the church. He said this to me. And he was a pastor of the church, but his family was a pretty messed up. And I remember him saying to me, he said, you need to quit spending so much time with God and in prayer and in word and study. He said, you need to spend more time with your family. Well, number one, I was a young Christian. And I'll tell you, from coming from my life, spending time with my family wasn't what I needed. Because my family needed a change guy. mm-hmm. That's what they needed. And God, the Lord told me this. He told me, you don't pay attention to what He said to you. Mm-hmm. The Lord told me this. He said, you spend time. And there's one thing is, my spending time with God is what my family got a different dad and husband. Amen. Mm-hmm. And that's what they needed. Amen. We have today, the church world basically follows a psychological system that has been set up by men. Everybody, we sort of can systems and put everybody into them and you just do this or you do that. And this is what makes things work. It's one of the things that I found out. God's the most brilliant guy in the room. Amen. It ain't me, that's for sure. And it's one thing, if I need wisdom to do something, I want to find out what He has to say about wisdom, about what to do. It's number one, we can look at people and see what they're doing. And you might not know it. You know, all we try to do and never really fix a problem because we only judge things by outward appearance. Bible says God judges things by the heart. We don't always know what's making a person tick, why they're doing what they're doing. You can have two people that seem to have the exact same problems, But you turn around, and why they're doing it is for two different reasons. And if you don't know that, you'll just give a psychological reason to it. And this is one thing, I've never been big on a lot of the so-called counseling stuff. There's one thing, this is one thing the Lord told me. He said, you don't ever counsel people that don't go to your church. He said, don't counsel them. Well, see, number one, people go and they're listening to stuff here, there, then they want to come and listen to something here. They get a jumble of ideas, and they get a jumble of things. He said, your best counseling is when your anointing is working to teach. And he said, if they will not come and sit down and listen to your teaching, he said, they don't respect me anyhow.
Amen.
See, we're in a world today, and in a church world, people don't even go to church and everything. And churches are counseling people coming in off the street. They're doing this counsel and all this kind of stuff, trying to fix up people's lives that are so messed up and say, hold it, put the brakes on the thing. People need to learn to know God.
Amen.
You know, I ain't God. I ain't got everybody's answer. And the whole idea is just people come and they want you to be the answer. I got the answers for my life by seeking God.
Amen.
To find out what was wrong with me. Found out it was pretty much wrong. But the whole thing of it is, I had to find out. I didn't even know what was making me work and tick and why I was doing stuff that I did. I didn't know. Most people have no idea how to fix their own problems. And you know, the whole thing was me. I found out God started showing me things about myself. You don't see them. There's things about you. There's things that happen in your life and stuff. There's things you drag along from the past sometimes. You don't realize you're doing it. You're doing what you're doing because something in the past. And it's like, you don't get around this thing, and it's knowing God. I don't have that. People want to just come and, you know, you seek God, you study the Word, and then I'll just come and get the answer from you, you know. And then my life will get fixed. No, it won't. You know, that isn't the way it works, because people got to find out, you're not going to just go around and somebody else gets the answer. You're going to have to find out for yourself. You know what? You know, socialism's this way. I don't do nothing, but everybody take care of me. And that's a lot of Christianity today. They want somebody to take care of them while they're not spending time to find out what they need to do. So, you know, there's work involved in it. But God set up covenants. It's just like when I found out that my dad was walking, God said because my dad was righteous. In fact, the time that he said that to me, he made this statement to me, which I didn't know nothing about it from Scripture. And after he said it, I went to the Scriptures to find out it was true. He said, I spared Noah's family because he was righteous. He said, the Scripture never says his family was righteous. And I thought, I didn't know. You know, it did. So I had to go look. So I went back in the book of Genesis and started studying through and found out never once was it ever mentioned that his wife or his kids were righteous or anything. It says he was. Well, see, the Lord, and I realized the Lord said to me, I was spared because my dad was righteous. So, you know, there is a powerful thing to understand about this. This is all based, as we look at this, all this stuff's based in covenant. And we need to understand this about, people need to learn this in Christianity about raising kids. Many times kids get blessed because of their parents and the kids aren't really walking right or doing right. And the kids live under a false idea that they're okay and they're not. See, I wasn't okay. I wasn't okay at all. But you know what? God was sparing me and keeping me from things because of where my dad walked. And we're going to find out as we look into covenant, this is the way covenants do. People don't understand this. We don't teach it in the church because we have this American idea of covenant. It's not that way at all. And as I learned that as I went along, is when my father passed, we talked about that last week, when my father passed, the Lord told me, speaking at my father's funeral, he told me directly to talk to my brothers and sisters. I'm the youngest in the family. There was 9 of us. And I, to tell them that my dad's gone now. Now they're the ones that are going to have to turn around. If things are going to go well from here on out, they're going to have to walk. And really, our family had been living off, we were a blessed family. And it was because of my dad. My dad walking right. And families don't always know that, you know. We got people in the families that walk right, do right, and some things ain't working as well. But see, they were living off of somebody else's right. God honored a covenant that that person walked in. And they were blessed. And we find out that this is the way it works down through. We're going to go back over the book of Genesis to the 9th chapter. We're going to read, we're looking through Genesis. We're going to look through Genesis at covenants here. This will really help you start understanding. We'll be going through this for a couple sessions on this areas of this covenant. Because of what God did in making covenants with man. Things that he set that mankind lives in today because something established, God established through somebody else because of righteousness. We need to understand that the covenant God made with Abraham. You know, when people look back and say, well, this is under the law and under the law, you know, all the Old Testament's not under law. You got to understand that. It's not all under law. But the church doesn't realize it. Abraham had a covenant just like ours. Ours is a covenant on promise. That's what he had, a covenant of promise. That's what he walked in. The law didn't come till turn around and dealing later on with Moses. But in Genesis, the 9th chapter and verse 8, it says this concerning Noah. This was after the flood. It says, in 9:8, it says, then God spoke to Noah and his sons with him, saying, and as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you. So he's going to establish a covenant with Noah, this righteous guy. And he said, I'm going to establish this covenant. This covenant is going to work for your descendants. Now this covenant, they could get blessed from. He said, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Now he's talking to, he had Noah and his sons. He's telling Noah. See, this is because of Noah. There's going to be a covenant. He said, never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. He said, I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. So God established a covenant, and you're going to find this. There are signs of covenants. There are signs. We'll go on. He said, this is a sign of the covenant. Today, we still see that sign. Up until that time, it had never rained. They didn't have that. There was no such thing as a rainbow. And so he told them, in other words, this change, really, the earth that exists before and how its system ran with weather and stuff has completely changed now. It's not like it was before. It's completely changed. There's a lot of things that people come up with theories on why men's life began to get short. We need to understand the earth was more like a terrarium than it was it wasn't like we have today. There was probably a lot less radiation and everything came into the earth during that thing. And that has effect on people. There's a lot that changed. But he told him, he said, look, every time you see this sign, and we still, and I said, that covenant's never changed.
Amen.
So God never changed the covenant. We see rainbows, you know, and people say, well, not there is God, you know, he signed. But people sort of take that generally. No, that's a sign of a covenant, and that covenant still stands.
Amen.
That still stands. If there's a rainbow in the sky, there's one thing I know this. When there's rainbows and we see still seeing them, the earth's never going to be completely flooded again. God said so.
That's right.
That event's never going to take place again. So, in other words, he did that, and he did that to Abraham. He spoke this covenant thing to Abraham. To Noah. He told Noah specifically. So, we see here in a covenant, and this covenant, he said, it stands on down through your descendants. So this isn't just his kids, his descendants. So as we come down through the ages, covenant still stands. So it's a covenant God made, and that covenant still stands. That is the sign of the covenant. So as long as there are rainbows, the covenant don't end.
Amen.
See, the church don't really look at these things today and realize that these are things that God said, this is going to be the sign that I'm making a covenant with the men on the earth and the animals. It will never be destroyed like it was again. That's not going to happen in that way. So there's not going to be a flood, so that's not going to take place. So we need to understand, we don't have today, there's not like What we call today, people call covenants or contracts. But contracts are limited to very little things over the lifespan of a person. Covenants don't. Covenants are totally different. And this is what you need to understand. Because we're in a covenant, and it's called an eternal covenant. But most of Christianity doesn't really believe that that's true. If it is, it'll change completely the way we believe. It will take you to a higher level in confidence of faith in God, if you understand it. And this is what we want to do. If we want a move of God, and we desire a move of God, we can have much greater expectations if we understand. When we talk about, well, God's word's good, God's word is a covenant. God that never changes.
Amen.
Man changes. When people say, you know, today things are different than they were before, if you're one of those suckers that falls for that, well, I'm going to tell you what, you'll never live a very good Christian life.
Amen.
You'll follow, and it's like today, if you go through most of Christianity today, it has all the trappings of the world in it because we have to deal today, people are different, people believe different, I don't care if they believe different, the Bible, God hasn't changed what he believes.
Amen. That's right.
God's covenants don't change. What man changes, but God, this is the steadfastness of faith. Look, you can't have faith if God changes.
That's right.
How would you know what he's going to do? You couldn't trust him. You wouldn't know what he's going to do. The whole thing of faith is based on a God who never changes. He said, I'll do this, then he'll do that. I can know this every time there's a rainbow and look outside. God gave his word to Noah and it still stands today. And I know this for a fact. The whole world's not going to be covered with water again. That ain't ever happening. Because why? We have the sign of the covenant. Now somebody say, well, you believe that stuff? Yes, I'm a nut. Let me alone. I'm being happy with it. And it's made my life wonderful and I've done a whole lot better believing this stuff than the stuff I believed before. And so, you know, I'm just going to stay with it. So let's just keep believing. Now we're going to move down through here to Abraham because God covenanted with Abraham. And we want to look at this because Abraham here, understand that Abraham's covenant still stands for us today. Abraham's covenant still stands. And we need to see this concerning covenant with him, God did. Now, it says in Genesis 12 and verse 1, it says, Now the Lord had said to Abraham, Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So we need to see this. We have God. God is always doing something a blessing. This is what God does.
Amen.
He's a blesser. He's not a curser. Because Jesus came to redeem man from the curse of the law. That's what he came to do. The curse of the law dealt with all sickness, disease, poverty, any bad thing that could happen falls under the curse. I mean, you go over and read all the verses of the curse. Any ugly thing you can think of and more. And it doesn't list it all. It even says at the end. And anything else, you know, any other bad stuff would fall under that. So God's not doing bad. God doesn't do evil. He does good. So God comes along. Now, what does he do to Abraham? He says, Abraham, get out of your house. You need to spend more time with your family. Stay at home. This is what you do. So I tell you, you know, I learned this a long time ago. A lot of people, this is why a lot of Christians can't follow God. They follow too many people.
Amen.
They listen to the world and they don't listen and say, hold it, stop. Mm-hmm. If this guy's going to do the will of God, in other words, I'll just tell you this, his family would be a hindrance to him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you just got to, I know a guy that had that problem. He got married and everything, but he lived in his parents' house. And they had like an apartment in the downstairs area and that stuff. But the Lord told this guy he needed to get out of the way of his parents. And he did. You know, they were a great hindrance in a lot of ways. And anyhow, he wouldn't do it. He had his idea in life what he wanted to do. He was going to save up and he was going to buy a house by cash. And so if he could live there, he could do all this. He had all these ideas. And anyhow, what happened was... don't follow God. Don't mind. Don't be surprised. Your mind might go on you, and that's exactly what happened to him. his mind went on him. And God used me to help him on some occasions. And but I asked the Lord finally one day, what on earth is this all about and what's going on here with this? And the Lord said this to me. He said, I told him to get out of his parents' house and get away from there. And he won't go. And he said, he's opened the door to the devil to do things to him. And he said, he's in big trouble. Well, you know, I'm a guy that I like to find out if something's true or not, you know, just because you heard from God. So I went to him and I talked to him and I sat down to him. I said, let me ask you something. I said, did God tell you to get move out of your parents' house? And he said, yeah. All I said to you, obey, this don't change. This don't change. You can't change it. I mean, this guy here, I mean, he's a big man and everything and all that kind of stuff. Fear would come on him and he'd cry like a little baby. He would stand and just cry and cry and he would just tremble. Nothing going on. But just fear would just dominate him and rule over him. And anyhow, over a period of time, he wouldn't change. And the Lord spoke to me one day and said it's going to take a long time for him to ever straighten out. Because I was praying for him and the Lord said, he said, stop it. It ain't going to do no good. You see, he knew to change. He knew what to do. We're not talking. Many times people know exactly what to do, but that's not what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. Now, I know none of you ever did anything like that. I was the only guy that did something I wasn't supposed to do. And I knew it when I did it. You know, just but we do that. But, you know, it gets over to areas that are very serious and that stuff. And his parents were really hurting him spiritually, very much hurting him. They were very religious and they were very stubborn in their religious things and there were, and it was really, really harmful to him. And, he decided he didn't want to do it. But see, this is one of the things that God, now people come on, well, you know, God had a reason. What God didn't have no reason in none of that. God had for his life to be blessed. That's what God wanted.
Amen.
God told him to come out and get away. Why? Because God wanted to bless him.
Yes.
But see, I want the blessing of living in his house here and not paying hardly anything. I want this blessing. Well, he accepted that one, but it went with things with it that weren't so good. So, we got to think about these things. But God told him, and I want you to think about this, you know, because really, Abraham and his covenant, today, you and I live in blessings because he did obey the word. He obeyed God in this. Can you imagine that? What about, you know, this, see, but people sit down and don't realize it. You as a Christian, what if you walk with God? Does it just bless you and your life? No, I want to tell you what, people need to understand this. To walk in and follow God will take a blessing that will continue down for generations.
Amen.
And see, what people need to see this. The church world, everybody's trying to get themselves blessed. When I learned this stuff many years ago, is the fact that really, my life and the blessing of my life puts blessing into this earth will bless other people. It's like my offspring and that stuff. My children are blessed because Wanda and I walk with God. Mm-hmm. They're blessed. There's blessings that they have that they did not attain for themselves. They attained it because Wanda and I attained it. And there are descendants and they're blessed through us. But you know what? But the whole thing, if they walk in blessing, it just gets passed on down the line, down the line. It's the way the system works in covenant. It goes down through descendants. And this is one of the things. The Bible also teaches this. If you go over and read in the Old Testament concerning under the law, it was talked about the fact that when you get a generation, they didn't walk with God, the next generation becomes more evil and more evil. And the next generation gets more evil. And see, people need to understand that. This is why. My life's affecting other people. There's no such thing as, well, I'm doing stuff and this is just me. You know, if you don't like it, you go, I'm sorry, you're affecting other people's lives.
Amen.
And we need to see that. The Bible teaches it. This is what the Bible teaches. But we have this old, you know, well, my personal life, it's just me. No, it's not. And so, the whole thing of it is, when I learned the power of, if I walk right, the power in my life can bless other people, will help. There are people, we need to understand this. There's in our nation has not had the judgment fall on it that it deserves. And it ain't because they're doing anything good. It's because of the good people that live in it. And they ain't the multitude, believe me. You know, There's many in America hate the Christians, but I'm going to tell you what. One day they're going to find out their life would have been a 20 times more hell than it is if it wouldn't have been for the Christians.
Amen. Preach.
God has blessed this nation because there are people who walk right before Him, and He has blessed others in spite of them.
Amen.
I was blessed in spite of... My life wasn't good at all, but because my dad lived right. So we hear how the blessing goes. But God blessed Abraham, and so we see Abraham, God blessed him. Abraham became very wealthy and things, but we want to look also at Abraham because we find out, you know, Abraham, his blessing, it passed on to Lot. Lot, Abraham's brother's son to him, who went with him when he moved out. But it says in Genesis 13 and 5 and 6, it said, Lot also, who went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. Now this he acquired while he was with Abraham. And it says, now the land was not able to supply them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Now the blessing that God did to Abraham overflowed to Lot. See, he followed after him. So descendants down, people are getting blessed. Why? Because of Abraham. See, God told Abraham, when you go out there, the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. The nations of the earth are blessed because of Abraham, not because they're doing things so good. Is this stuff true or not?
Yes, sir.
See, he said the nations were going to be blessed. The nations. He said, I'm going to make a nation out of you. Now, in Genesis 17, we look further and God specifically lays out a covenant concerning him. Now, in Genesis 17, verse 4, it says, this is God speaking. He said, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. So, who he says, my covenant is with you, and you're going to be the father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Abraham means the father of nations. That's what it means. So he changed his name. In other words, when we use the name Abraham, we're using a covenant name given by God to him. God named him. He's not named by man. This is God's name to him. So the term of that name, that is a covenant name. See, you're going to find out. You have Abraham, you have Isaac as a covenant name. God gave him that name, Isaac. God gave Jacob the name Israel. They are covenant names. All those names, they mean, like, you know, Jacob, he that there means a prince. So God called him, God didn't call. Man named him a usurper. God called him a prince. See, God viewed him different men.
Amen.
Thank God. I don't pay attention to people. They ain't got good sense anyhow. God looks at his covenant. I want to say you, you're a Christian. You belong to God. What's God's view of you? You're in his covenant. He views you in his covenant, not as like everybody else in the earth. I am not like everybody else in the earth. I'm in a totally different family.
That's Amen. Right. That's
right. We're in a different family. We're different people.
Amen.
We're not of this world, the Bible says so. I mean, is that true or is this? See, we don't treat ourselves or understand ourselves as covenant, so we don't read nor study the Bible as being a covenant. We just, these are nice things, we're just trying to get a hold. No, this is God's covenant with man. This is what God said, hey, this is what I do for this group. The Bible was written for a certain group of people, and it ain't for the world. If they don't come into the covenant, they're not in it.
Right.
They're not in it. You know, no sinner can actually have any confidence that they're going to pray and ask God, talk to God, get anything other than to be born again. Because if you don't get born again, you have no covenant right scripturally to ask God for anything.
Amen.
There's no covenant right. The covenant is for those who belong to Him.
Amen.
If a people are outside the covenant, see, we don't today. There's no reason for people in the world want to come into the church because they don't think there's anything much to it. Just, you know, be nice, do good, you know, whatever. But they don't realize the power of this thing.
Right.
This Bible is only good for those who are in the covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to understand. So you've got to come to the covenant. Hallelujah. So Abraham here, we find out, he says, verse 6, he said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. He said, nations. See, we people say, well, you know, the nation of Israel. The covenant is nations, not nation. Nations came out of him. Nations of the kings came out of him. So we need this covenant is extending. It's extending. Look, if we sit down and do it, this guy, God says, you know, you're out here. You're going to be exceedingly fruitful. You know how it's exceeding? He only had up to that time, he had had one kid and it's his own with through Sarah. He had this other kid who God told him to put him out there somewhere. But when Sarah died, he turned around and married again and produced a number of children. But nations came out of him. And this is a guy, I mean, he started off, he's almost 100 years old. Mm-hmm. Well, when God told him he was going to be fruitful, it sure didn't look like he was going to be fruitful.
That's right.
It didn't look like he was going to be any kind of fruitful. Doesn't look like much of anything. I mean, even to the time of Jacob went into to Egypt, they didn't have much of a crowd at all. Mm-hmm. They don't have nothing. But see, God said it would turn out a certain way. And it turned out just like God said.
Amen.
And it's credited, this one guy, God said, get out of your house, get out of your family. I want to take you somewhere. We're going to do something different down here. I want to bring blessing into this earth. And I got a plan, and man has all their plans of how blessings work. I got a plan. Come on with me. Thank God he went with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So he goes on, he said, and I will establish my covenant between me and you. Huh. The covenant, we get walk into blessing because God's covenant with Abraham. Me and you and your descendants, after you in their generations. This ain't a contract. This ain't the way contracts work. So he said, for it. Now, what's it going to be? An everlasting covenant. Now, just think about that. Majority of Christianity thinks that that covenant ends, you know, with Abraham and all that's back then. It's an everlasting covenant. God said.
Yes.
It's an everlasting covenant.
Amen.
To be God to you and your descendants after you. He said, look, God said, I'm going to get a covenant with you and you and all yours, and I'm going to be your God and their God. That's what I'm going to do. You know, he never quit being their God.
Amen.
They got crazy and did all kind of crazy things, and he never get. Do you ever, you know, you study the Bible and see all the nutty stuff they done and everything that happened and all that kind of stuff? But God always turned around and restored them.
Every time.
Why? Covenant.
Amen.
God doesn't break covenant. Man does. God never breaks covenant. He always kept his word. You'll find in scriptures many times it stated this in the Old Testament that God did something for and blessed them. He says, because your fathers. Your father walked before me. And we go over and look at David and Solomon. Solomon, after in his later life, got to be a downright heathen. He's turned around out there. He's married and all these women and all these concubines. He's just chasing women, you know. He's after skirts. I mean, this guy. That's all he's doing. And he's just chasing all the time. And what does he do? He hurts his own son. But he's coming down to the end of his life. He built temples to other gods. Everybody said, oh, you're Solomon's temple? Solomon had more than one temple. Solomon built temples for his wives who worshipped other gods, and he built temples for them. But they went along with this, and what happens? He comes to the end of his life and God talks to him. Basically, he's supposed to be judgment's going to fall in his kingdom. But he's got, just what God says to him. God says, it's not going to fall till after you leave. He said, because I'm going to honor your father David. And so you won't see it. See, he didn't see judgment because of his father. Because he deserved every bit of it. But you know what? Solomon cursed his son because it fell on his son.
Mm-hmm.
Judgment fell on the nation of Israel because of Solomon. The next generation got cursed because of the generation before it. Oh. See, you understand this about covenants and stuff and things? How important this is. See, walk in covenant. See, this man here, if he'd walked in covenant, he could have blessed, carried blessing over. You know, all during the time with the division of the kingdoms and all that, God did everything he can to bless those groups, all the trouble they went through and all the things they did. But God's still trying to honor covenant. He has a covenant and he wants to do something good. And he don't ever quit at it. In verse 8 it says, "And also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are strangers, and all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now, this settles anything, if anybody has any question. God said the land of Israel, he gave them an everlasting covenant. Israel has every right to that land. God said so. It's based on God's covenant. This is why all the trouble today goes on over there, because of men. They defy God's covenant. They're trying to get the blessing of God, defying the covenant of God. Won't work.
That's right.
Won't work. Here it says, does this covenant, how could that covenant have ended if it says it's an everlasting covenant? Well, then it can't end, whatever I figure. In fact, you're going to find that during the millennial reign, Israel is going to hold all the land that God originally gave to them. They'll hold the land the whole way over to the Euphrates rivers, the whole way over to the Mediterranean Sea, up into Syria, and down over to the Egyptian border. They're going to hold all the land. And Jesus Christ is going to sit on his throne, and he said he's going to rule with a rod of iron. They'll find out who's in charge. They're going to find out there's an everlasting covenant. God has not changed. The end of the book, we find out. You're reading in Genesis in the beginning, and the end of the book, it's going to fall in line because of what was said in the beginning. God reveals the end from the beginning. He's going to bring it back to the order that he declared under covenant. It won't change. Israel will hold the land. And they're not going to hold the land because they're wonderful. They're going to hold the land because God covenanted with their father Abraham. God's going to honor Abraham covenant. See, covenants are incredible things because these covenants, these are words put out that can't be changed. You know, the only way a covenant can be changed is somebody dies. It would change with them. This is wonderful. See, we're in a covenant. It's unchangeable. The covenant was never made with you. It was made between God the Father and God the Son. And he lives forever.
Amen.
It's an unchangeable covenant. Unchangeable.
Amen.
Unchangeable covenant. Covenant can't end because nobody dies out of the thing. See, these covenants were made for descendants and down past, so there's always going to be somebody who's there for these covenants. You see, what God's covenants are eternal things with things. He'll stand on them. So it says, and God said to Abraham in verse 9, "As for you, you shall keep my covenant, and you and your descendants after you through their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants for you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your skin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you." See, everybody takes the bit of the covenant made in circumcision was done to the law. No, it wasn't. It was done to Abraham. It was the sign of that covenant. The covenant of promise. That was the sign of that covenant. So see, there's always signs of covenant. You know what the signs of our covenant are? We read them and study them all the time. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name." And the church does not walk in them at all. This is why the world never sees the signs of our covenant. "In my name you'll cast out demons. You'll speak with new tongues. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't harm you. If you take up snakes..." Then he goes, lay hands on the sick and they recover. And the church fights against that all the time. They hate the covenant of God. I can't believe people haven't sat down. I mean, these words are so clear all down through Scripture, signs of the covenant. It's all so clear. I wonder what people study. I don't know what they do in these seminaries. I think they're cemeteries. Whatever they do in them and they're teaching, what do they do as they teach? Don't they read the Scriptures? Don't people read things? Isn't it interesting that Jesus comes and he's the fulfillment of the covenant and he said, "These signs shall follow them that believe." Wouldn't somebody have gotten ahead? You see how important covenant is? And yet, I can truthfully say, I haven't ever heard anybody ever teach decently on covenant. Nobody. Somebody didn't do it out there, but I hadn't had the pleasure. And I got it by the Holy Ghost. I didn't get it because Ed was a genius. But, you know, God will turn around and speak to me and tell me certain words and certain things, and all of a sudden I just start looking at him and think, oh my God, this stuff, you know. See, God's trying to get, we're talking about, we want keys to the move of God. I believe faith would arise such in God's people if they really understand who and what they are. Amen. And their relationship with God. Yeah. I mean, it is phenomenal. We wouldn't be sitting around trying to have faith. Faith would be the most natural thing to trust God. It'd be just so natural. The reason we struggle is because of our ignorance. That's why we struggle with faith. Faith, lack of faith is lack of knowledge. That's what it is. You can't have faith beyond what you know. You can't trust what you don't know. And when you find out that God's word is greater than my word, and my faith is about being in his word, not about me. Faith. And so when I find out how great his word is and how he carries it out, I can know this. Hey, he'll do what he says. He'll honor it. You know? I'm not perfect, but he is. See, we need to get a hold of this. So he established a covenant, and he gave the sign of that covenant. So there was a sign to it, again. So these are things that, you know, we just really need to take time to look at these things and, you know, get on the ride. Is these words in these pages, we have the Old Testament, it's called Old Testament, New Testament. It is really, a testament is the idea of a person, and you know, we talk about will and testament, or somebody, you know, dies and they have a will. And we need to understand that this is really just greater, this is what the will of God, the Old Testament, New Testament is the will of God, it's not the will of men.
Yes.
It's the will of God. In other words, this is God's will for man. This is what God wants to do for man. This is what God. And this is the most wonderful. We sit down and we look, you know, and to see these things as God's plan is to bless people. We come along and we take around. We want to see with this covenant because God's covenant went on in Genesis 26. We're going to look here and Isaac. Because we're going to find out. See, God covenanted with Abraham and his descendants. Now, this is a descendant under the covenant. So, now understand this about covenant we're dealing with. Abraham was blessed often to his descendants, the descendants that came from him that God established. So we think, we deal with the areas of Sarah. So it was out through Sarah that the covenant was established through, and the descendants afterward. Now, we need to get a hold of this fact because it's just like with a new birth. You have to be born into the kingdom of God. You have to be born again, the Bible says. You can't get into a covenant without birth. You're born into covenant. See, we accepted Jesus Christ. We are born into the covenant of God. Just like Isaac. Isaac's blessing, Abraham's blessing followed Isaac. And so we have here in Genesis 26, verse 3, we have, there was drought in the land and stuff, but God said to Isaac, he said, "Dwell in this land and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father." What oath am I going to, you're going to live under? The oath I swore to Abraham. See, God made an oath with Abraham. And he said, now this is going to go down through your descendants. So Isaac has not done one good deed. He hasn't followed. He hasn't done. He didn't leave father and mother and go out. He didn't do anything to earn this. I'm in a covenant I never earned. You're in a covenant you never earned.
Amen.
We didn't earn it. There's none righteous. How do we get righteous? We got righteous by faith. Jesus Christ earned it, and we got it free. Abraham didn't earn it. Abraham obeyed God and did what he said. God said, I'm covenant with you. Now your descendants are going to get blessed in all you did. And you're blessed because all that Jesus did. See, there's a covenant we need to understand. The Bible tells us that we have his inheritance. I've inherited what Jesus has. What do you think Jesus has? You think Jesus is sitting up at heaven on a throne coughing?
No,
trying to get a flu shot?
Nope.
Trying to pray. Jesus said, pray that God's will would be done on earth like it is in heaven. The church teaches, oh yeah, you're going to be sick down here. This is going to happen. They got it in heaven?
No, sir.
Why? There was no curse. There was no curse in at all in Abraham's blessing. I didn't read one. You go ahead and read all through. Follow Abraham's hope. Never a curse. You and I have been living in a cursed earth, and we got saved. And when you got saved, you were redeemed from the curse. And we're being taught in the church world that we're still under the curse. See, people don't have faith to be well. You can't have faith to be well when you believe that you're just going to be sick. That this is just what we have to put up with here.
That's right.
Now, see, somebody, well, you're radical and you're belief. Hey, I've been since 1980. I ain't ever had the flu. You know, I don't. You know, it's you, people decided what. See, I decided if I'm redeemed from the curse of the law, that's either true or a lie, is it? I had to decide. See, it isn't God. God's right about the thing. I had to decide whether I was going to believe what God said or I'm going to keep listening to everybody else. And I decided, I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to walk in these things. I'm going to, And so, God did all the, are these things true? We need to understand it. If this stuff isn't right, then we're stupid here for being here tonight and doing any of this. We would be stupid forever following God, wasting any time praying to this God. Mm-hmm. If this isn't true, if the Bible's not true, then what are we doing? I can't believe some guy has, takes a paycheck from a church and he believes, God's cursing you. Just, my God has if he's cursing me, I don't need you then. Why would I go to church? God's trying to do bad to me. God didn't have to do bad to me. I was doing real good at it. I knew how to do bad to me. So, but we find here in Genesis, we go on down through here with this. So, but God made this kind to his generation. But we find here the blessing that is on Isaac. And it says this, God said, hey, you stay here in this land. I'm gonna bless you here. Now, one thing he said, he's in the middle of a drought. Now, he's gonna find out, am I gonna obey this covenant? God says, stay here. I'm gonna bless you with the covenant I made with your dad. That's what I'm going to do. Now, he has a choice. There's a drought in the land. What am I going to do? See, he's going to have to act on the covenant. He's going to have to act. So he does. We want to say that he does. He goes on here, and he says, he said, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all the lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. He said, because Abraham did this, you're blessed. Because of what Jesus Christ did, we're blessed. Now, in Genesis 26, this famine's going. He stays in this land. Verse 12, then Isaac sowed in the land and reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. The man became began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. See, it's like he didn't just do good. He was doing really good, but now he's doing really great. Well, it says, listen to this. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines envied him. Do you think the world envies the church? No. We've been almost taught, you know, you get too rich, you're bad. It's evil. We're under Abraham's covenant. How could you be under Abraham's covenant? How could we be under redeemed from the curse? Go read what the blessing of the curse. Blessed, you're blessed coming in and going out. You're blessed in your food and everything. You're just blessed in everything you do. Yeah, your bread bank, baskets, goods, it's full. In other words, you got plenty of money. You got all this stuff. See, we're taught differently than covenant. But see, everybody's trying to earn the blessing when the blessing was earned. It's easy to follow God when you believe right. It's not hard. People struggle to follow God because they're trying to make up their own law and covenant and doing their own thing. No, the covenant's already established. Our covenant already stands. We're not trying to come up with another one. It's already been paid for. This is why without faith it's impossible to please Him. We're supposed to believe in what He did. I don't believe much in what I did. Because I know things I did. Amen. And see, people get over and say, it makes us, we become more sin conscious than we are righteous consciousness. We come more, we're more conscious of our weaknesses and failures than His success.
Amen.
And the blessing is established on His success, not my lack of perfection. If anybody here, are you perfect? If you had to be perfect so you could get the blessing of the covenant, this whole thing's a fraud. It ain't going to work. It's not going to work. Even from the standpoint, it's amazing how long people mess up and God still lets them get by with it. Why? Because under the covenant, He's merciful, He's kind, He's good. How long He lets people get away with stuff? Why? It's because of covenant. It's the way He is. See, people need to... When we deal with it, and we're going to end here with this, because next week we're going to go into Jacob. We're going to look at Jacob and the covenants that God made with him. And we see these covenants, and we want to look at these because we want to establish the fact that this is what covenant is about. We need to see what covenant is. When we look at the Old Testament and people made covenants, and they had blood covenants, they made covenants with each other on things. You didn't break a covenant. A covenant, anybody who broke a covenant was worthy of death. If God doesn't keep His word, He is no better than the devil.
Amen.
He's absolutely no better than the devil. God's word stands true. His covenant's true.
Amen.
He'll do it.
Amen.
If He said He would, He will. This is where the basis of faith, and this is why we're teaching on this. People say, we need a move of God. We need God to move. You know, it's like with people. You know, they look at these things of, you know, God uses circumstances with people. Many times it's not His perfect will. People say, well, this thing with Charlie Kirk, you know, and happened, and, you know, God's doing this to... God didn't kill the people.
That's right.
The devil killed him.
Amen. That's right.
Because if God killed him, they need to let the guy out of jail right now for doing the will of God. You know, you can never lock it. If everything that happens as out here is God's will, I mean, I hope none of us think here in this be thinking that way. God will use it, so He'll use things in spite of people, because, you know, He could probably get nothing done if He don't just try to go do something. But people act like, well, you know, like this is going to bring great revival. Well, most of the people are using it for political, not using it for... The politicians are running around talking about God right now. What happened? They weren't talking about God before. They think they're just going to use this as the key to thing. I want to tell you what we need to understand. I don't want any kind of revival, any political revival.
No, sir.
My revival is to change His people. They don't become
right.
What they were, because there's a lot of Republicans need changed. And so, but God is a covenant. The whole thing of it is, if we understand our position with Him, what could we go to Him and ask for Him to do? that he would do. What could our expectations would be for him? Well, see, it's number one, you got to find out what's in the covenant. Most of the church world has no idea what's in the covenant. They don't know. We're full of religious ideas, religious thinking about stuff. I mean, lack of faith is running on top of the list of people. And it is because they don't know. They don't know what the word, they don't know if they can trust this or not. And I'm just from this standpoint. If this isn't true, if you can prove to me that this is not true, then I would quit preaching in 2 seconds.
Amen.
Anybody that doesn't believe this thing is true and stands in a pulpit ain't nothing but the devil's kid.
That's right. Say it louder.
Trying to make a living off a lie? Don't know what's true. Well, we'll pick parts of it. It will take as true. You can't pick parts. Either it's true or not, because which part are you going to pick? Well, what's true? We can't do that. I know there's things I look at in here and I read in here and I think, man, that's hard to get. I don't know. But you know what? It's true. I'll just have to learn. I'll have to find out what God's saying in this thing. It's just what it's true. It's what God said. Because there's one thing as I found out, as I've walked in the light that I get from this, it's blessed my life.
Amen.
It's given me such a better life than I ever had before. And I thank God. Hallelujah. And he did it, but you know, it's worked because he's gracious, he's kind, he's good. He never lies. He's not a man that he can lie. So there's no lies in here. Now there are lies in the Bible, but ain't what God said. There's things written there man said. But there's not things and no lies in there God said. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, let's close in prayer. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. We're so just grateful and thankful. Lord God, I am so glad your word stands true today. I thank you, Lord God. We're a blessed people. Hallelujah. We're blessed with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. Lord God, you established a covenant in the beginning, and you just made that covenant better and better. And through Jesus Christ, it's now a wow covenant. Woo!
Yes.
There's nothing else like it. Lord God, it is fulfillment of all the blessing that man could have in Christ Jesus. I just want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I want to thank you that it's your great desire to bring days of heaven into this earth. Hallelujah. To bless humanity, Lord God. Lord, you're not holding good from men. You never did. You made covenant with man so you could bless them. And I just want to thank you, Lord God, as you reveal these things to us, open our eyes, give us understanding concerning your covenants. Lord God, your word and establishing it, because we just don't want it established on pages of a book. We want it established on the pages of our heart. Hallelujah. Lord God, that we'll be full of faith and confidence in you. Lord God, so that men, women, and children in this earth will be blessed. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.